Judges chapter 4, and this is what is so humorous. This is the Mother's Day message. So, they had their chance, and so I'm going to give a Mother's Day message and then continue on the portion in the Gospels, as usual. But let's look at something ever so extraordinary in Judges chapter 4. I'll read part of it, and then some of chapter 5. But it says, the children of Israel again did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor. The captain of whose host was Sisera, who dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapido, she judged Israel at that time. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel, in the hill country of Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. And she sat and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kedesh Naphtali, and said unto him, hath not the Lord, the God of Israel, commanded, saying, go, and draw unto Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali, and of the children of Zebulun, and I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thy hand. And Barak said unto her, if thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, I will not go. And she said, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor. But the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kedesh. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali together to Kedesh, and there went up 10,000 men at his feet, and Deborah went up with him. Now Heber the Kenite had separated himself from the Kenites, even from the children of Hobab, the brother-in-law of Moses, and had pitched his tent as far as the oak of Zaananim, which is by Kedesh. And they told Sisera that Barak, the son of Abinoam, was gone up to Mount Tabor. And Sisera gathered together all his chariots, even 900 chariots of iron, and all the people that were with him, from Harosheth of the Gentiles unto the river Kishon. And Deborah said unto Barak, up, for this is the day in which the Lord hath delivered Sisera into thy hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor, and 10,000 men after him. And the Lord discomfited Sisera, and all his chariots, and all his hosts, with the edge of the sword before Barak. And Sisera alighted from his chariot, and fled away on his feet. But Barak pursued after the chariot, and after the host, and the Harosheth of the Gentiles. And all the host of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword. There was not a man left. Howbeit, Sisera fled away on his feet to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite. For there was peace between Jabin, the king of Hazor, and the house of Heber, the Kenite. And perhaps you are familiar with this story, how she tells him to come in. She's going to give him safety, verse 21. Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a tent pin, and took a hammer in her hand, and went softly unto him, and smote the pin into his temple, and it pierced through into the ground, for he was in a deep sleep, so he swooned. And behold, as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him and said unto him, Come, and I will show thee the man whom thou seekest. And he came unto her, and behold, Sisera lay dead, and the tent pin was in his temple. So God subdued on that day Jabin, the king of Canaan, before the children of Israel. And the hand of the children of Israel prevailed more and more against Jabin, the king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan. Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, on that day, saying, For that the leaders took the lead in Israel, for that the people offered themselves willingly, Bless ye the Lord. Hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes. I, even I, will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise unto the Lord, the God of Israel. Notice that it is Deborah who wrote this song. Barak sings it with her, but she wrote this song. Verse 6. In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through byways. The rulers ceased in Israel. They ceased until that I, Deborah, arose. That I arose, a mother in Israel. That's all we'll read for now. Let's speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the various chapters in thy word that tell us of so many different things. Our God, what man could think of a variety of subjects enough to satisfy God's people that they might be thoroughly furnished unto every good work? But thou hast done this. And we thank you, our Father, for the lessons that we have, not only in the new, but in the old. You have especially spoken to us about them. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope, and that is our desire this day, that we might learn of these things, that we might be blessed, learning of Deborah and of Barak, and of the adventures of the children of Israel when their enemy, Sisera, arises against them. So, bless us this day, we pray. You know our sins, forgive and cleanse. Bless, we ask of thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. How would you like to be Lapidoth, to have a wife that had all the gifts, that was a prophetess, and all you are? The woman is not known as the wife of the husband, but the husband is known as the husband of the wife. Now, this happens more than once. Lapidoth married to a prophetess. Does anyone know another man of God who was married to a prophetess? Isaiah was. The mother of, and who were the two children of Isaiah? Certainly you know Shir Jashub and Maher Shalal Hashbaz. You are familiar with them, aren't you? Those were their children. Their names have significance. We won't talk about the significance of those names. But here is Isaiah, and he is married to a prophetess. So we find at times a prophet married to one who is a prophetess. I knew this one. I knew a psychiatrist who also was married to another psychiatrist, a husband and wife. And because of those things, life could have been difficult. But at the same time, it is remarkable how, if a woman knew her place, the things in the Word of God went ever so smoothly for this reason. What we have in Deborah is the exception and not the rule. Who can tell me every prophetess ever mentioned in the Bible? You can name them on this hand. You've heard of Miriam. Yes. You've heard of Deborah. You have heard of the wife of Isaiah, I just told you about her. Have you ever heard of Huldah? Have you ever heard of Noadiah? They would be all the prophetesses that are mentioned in the Old Testament. Well, let's see if you're any better in the New Testament. Anybody know a prophetess in the New Testament? Have you ever heard of Anna, the prophetess, who was of a great age, who was waiting when the Lord Jesus was brought into the temple? Have you ever heard of Philip, who had four daughters that prophesied? And have you ever heard of Jezebel, who called herself a prophetess? So, when people talk about prophetesses and so forth, they're not talking about something that is ever so common, because in the whole history that we have recorded in God's Word, we just have a few that are named in the Old Testament, and fewer still by name in the New Testament. But there were, and there are, in Old and New Testament, women who have the gift of prophecy. There are women who have the position that should be occupied by a man. Now, I want to contrast two of these women for you. I would contrast Deborah and Jezebel. It says in Revelation 2 that you have in this church, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, you have in the church at Thyatira a woman who was running the church named Jezebel, and she called herself a prophetess. This woman was entirely out of place. She had no place of rule and authority in the church. She had set herself up in the church, and I say this to the shame of all the men there, not one of them had courage enough to remove her. You say, well, she's a woman. Have you ever confronted such women as Jezebel in the Old Testament? You think that they are not formidable at all? Well, here is Elijah, that fearless prophet of God. He had a confrontation with 400 prophets of Baal, and when it was all over, he said, kill them all. And then the next day, Jezebel sent him a note and said, the Lord do so to me and more also. If your life be not as the life of one of those dead prophets of mine that you killed tomorrow morning. And Elijah said, woe is me, and he ran for his life. You see what happens at times when you come up against a woman named Jezebel. So you have it in the Old Testament, and you have it in the New Testament. But what is so commendable about Deborah is that she was a prophetess. This was a God-given gift to this woman. She genuinely had the gift of prophecy, but she knew that she was a woman and that her position was exceptional. And what did you notice about this woman, Deborah, in the message she received from God? What was she attempting to do, even though she was a prophetess and was judging Israel? What was she trying to do? Of course, she wanted Barak to come and take over. Thank God for such women as that. I wonder if any are around today. It's just the opposite. But this woman, who was gifted of God, who was superior to all Israel, she was a prophetess, she knew the mind of God, she wanted a man to come in and do the work that she was doing. And would the man do it? Isn't that sad? She told him, she said, I have this message from God. You are the man that God is going to use. You take 10,000 men and go and destroy the army of Sisera. He said, not by myself. He said, I will go if you will go, but I'm not going to go if you will not go. Isn't that a courageous man? Do you have any more courage than that? That's sad. You'll find that these judges in this book of Judges were that way again and again. Tell me about the timidity of Gideon. You remember Gideon's timidity? God said to him, go and destroy your father's idol, Baal. And it said, poor Gideon, it said, though he couldn't do it by day, He did it by night. But he did it, you see. But he was no courageous man. And you remember, when he was going to fight, God said, "Now I'm going to deliver the enemy into your hand." And Gideon said, "Yes, Lord," he said, "but show me a sign." You remember putting out the fleece one way and another way? So here is a man, and he's used of God, but you will find this hesitation. And you have also Jotham, who was a son of Gideon, and he had courage to utter the mind of God to those who had abandoned God, but he was up on a high hill, and he shouted to the top of his voice and told them the message, and when he got through, he ran for his life. And so that's the way that some preachers have to do today. Tell you the truth and then run for their lives. But at least they tell you. So that gives me courage. It means that I may not be a by day servant of God, but I can do things by night. And I may not be able to look into your face and tell you fearlessly the truth of God, but I may be able to stand way up on a hill and then tell you the last message. I don't tell you everything today. I wait till the last message and the car is warmed up, and after I tell you, then I jump in the car and go. But I tell you anyway, you see. It's just like those that come to meetings late. The only good thing about it is that the others that criticize them, they're not at the meeting, you see. And those that, "Aren't you courageous?" "No, but I have enough enablement of God to give the message, to carry out the will of God." And so when I look upon a man like Barak, I say, isn't that pitiful? That man says, "I'm not going to go unless you go along with me." Well, at least he went. Where are the others? They're not even there. That's the bad thing. And so some talking about, "I wish we had heroes among the people of God. Here they are letting women lead them." Well, praise God. At least he was willing to be led. And so let us commend this woman and every other woman who knows that her position is not the norm, but it is the exception, and she is doing all in her power to have herself displaced. There used to be old servants of God, like Harold Harper. Some of you are old enough to remember these old men. Harold Harper said, "I like nothing better than to preach myself out of a job." How many preachers today are looking for such a goal? What he wanted to do? It said, when Christ ascended on high, he led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men, and he gave these gifts unto men that they in turn may minister and build up the church. And after a while, Harold Harper would go and preach to them, give them a few instructions, and then he would say, "One of you men shall speak next Sunday." "Why, you can't leave us?" He said, "I'm going up the country. I'm going to speak there." And the poor brethren would get up with fear and trembling, and think of the one who spoke, and then think of the people that had to listen to him. But he was determined that the gift among the people of God would be exercised. And no one starts out an orator at first. And no one starts out a champion at first, unless you happen to be a man like David. That is the exception and not the rule. So many times we're thinking of the exception, and we make them the rule. They say, "God will take care of you." Yes, I remember that God fed Elijah by the ravens. How many of you have been paid off lately by ravens bringing you your salary? Can you think of anybody else that was provided for by God that way? You say, "He was the only one." And yet we take these rare exceptions, and that's the thing that we expect. And so here are those who would push women out of their place. And they would say, "Do you not see that you have a woman who is a judge in Israel, that she is the one that is leading? She does it under duress, and she is entirely in order when she does lead and when she judges for this reason. She is in a retired position, and she's under a palm tree between Bethel and Ramah. And if people wanted to know the mind of God, they would come up and they would talk to Deborah, and she could make known to them the mind of God." And let me ask you this. When these 10,000 men did go to fight, was Deborah at the fore with a sword? Not at all. She just went along, stayed on the sidelines, and communicated the mind of God to a man. And I hope that this puts us to shame. Do you realize that it should be an embarrassment to you if you have to go and ask your wife to teach you anything about the Bible? And yet some of your wives know more than you do about the Bible. It says in 1 Corinthians 14, and if a woman would learn anything, let her ask her husband at home. You say, well, she'll be as ignorant when she gets through asking me as she was before she asked. Yes, that's true. And as the children being brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, who is supposed to do it? Fathers. You say, yes. Sweetheart, go take care of the children. That's the way that we do it. But God has these responsibilities. There are some things that women can do, and some women, like Jezebel and Athaliah, are quite willing to step out of their place, usurp the position of a man, and rule and have authority over men. But those are the ones that God destroys. He said in Revelation that he waited for Jezebel to repent. He said, I gave her time to repent, and she willeth not to repent. And he said, because of that, I'm going to cast her into a bed and her children with her, and I will destroy them with death. So this is what happens in the goodness of God and in the severity of God, that God patiently waits for things that are out of order to get into order. But after he gives time to repent, and God knows just how long that should be, and they will not repent, then the judgment falls. Now, here is a woman who is judging, who is in a position of teaching men, and she wants to be removed from it. But Barak will not allow her to do so. And if today there are you men, and you have to ask your wives to give you information about the Bible, then it is a shameful thing. I think to save face, I would go and take Bible courses to learn more than my wife did about the Bible, or to be able to intelligently discuss the Word of God with her. Because even though you may not be gifted, here is what is so encouraging about the promises of God. It says concerning Christ, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. And so you say, well, if he gave you a gift, you have it. And if he did not give you a gift, you do not have it. But it says also concerning gifts that if at that time when they were speaking in tongues, it said, if you have no interpreter, keep silent. And it says, and if you have no interpreter, it says, let a man pray that he may interpret. So here is a man, and he wants blessing for the church, but when they spoke in tongues and nobody interpreted, there was confusion, and Paul said, if you do not have an interpreter, pray that God give you the gift of interpretation. And if there is this lack of ability among the people of God, and if my wife knows more than I think I would pray to God, oh Father, let me fulfill my responsibility as a husband to my wife, and as head of a household to my children. Enable me to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And is there not a promise that if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him, and your children will respect you. So thank God for women who are gifted by God, but at the same time, who know that they are the exception and not the rule, and they are willing to stand to the side and let Barak lead into battle. This is the way that it was with Deborah. But let me show you this now, to show you that she did have the gift of prophecy. In chapter 4, look at verse 6. It says that she dwells under the palm tree, and in verse 6, she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kedesh Naphtali, and said unto him, hath not the Lord, the God of Israel, commanded, saying, go and draw up? You see? Here she has the mind of God. Look at verse 9. It says in verse 9, and she said,
I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. Here again, she is a prophetess. She knows what the future is going to hold. Look at verse 14. And Deborah said to Barak, up, for this is the day in which the Lord hath delivered Sisera into thy hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? And so forth. So this is what a true prophetess is. This is a foretelling prophetess. You have foretelling prophets and you have forthtelling prophets. Here is a foretelling prophetess. At the same time, she had discernment, and when people would come and ask her questions as she was sitting under the palm tree, she was able to settle matters that were difficult of resolve. As in the case of Solomon, when two harlots came to him, both claiming the living child, Solomon had to settle that. There were so many problems that arose, and sad to say, there are not 200 men of Issachar, men that had an understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. But at least there was one woman who had an understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, and she knew what she ought to do. And therefore, when people would come to her with a problem, she was able to tell them, because of her communion with God, the answer to her problem. Now, if you ever came to me, I would be able, in one way, to give you an answer to your problem, not because of a miraculous gift, the way that Paul had, who was a prophet, or Deborah had, but there are two ways of being informed about a subject, and one of them is miraculous, and one of them is natural. It speaks in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 about the gifts, and one of the gifts is the gift of discernment. You have the discerning of spirits. That is a gift from God. But it says this also in Hebrews chapter 5. It speaks about mature men, meet for those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. The difference is this. If you ask me a portion of the Word of God, I would say, yes. I would point out in the Scriptures where this thing is so. If a person had the miraculous gift of a prophet, they would intuitively know. But let me ask you, if someone gave you a verse of Scripture intuitively, or I, by reason of use, knew where they were going to tell you to turn in the Bible, is the answer the same? You say, why, of course it is. And yet one of them is miraculous, and one of them is acquired. It speaks about those that by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. And if a false prophet came in and stood up and spoke, a person with the gift of the discerning of spirits would say, you are a false prophet. I would listen to him 1 or 2 minutes, and I would say, you are a false prophet. Why? Because if he spoke not according to this word, it was because there was no light in what he was saying. So one of them would be an acquired discerning of spirits, and another one would be a miraculous impartation of discerning of spirits. So what you do not have, if God chooses, he will give you the answer to that question, and then you will be able to do what you should be doing all along. But notice this. She calls herself, and this is why I was bringing her to your attention. It's appropriate. This is Mother's Day, quite in order that on occasion we should remember special people, special occasions. God did it. He had 7 feasts, but we can't go into that. But here is a woman, and she calls herself a mother in Israel. All right, let me ask you a question. Who else spoke of someone being his mother that was not his mother? Can you remember? Paul says concerning Rufus in Romans, he said, I want you to greet your mother and mine. So, a mother in Israel could be this, that she had a husband. What was her husband's name? Lapidoth. Don't forget him.
Isn't that terrible to say, who are you? I'm the wife of Deborah, you see, rather than, oh, my husband is Lapido. It's usually the other way around. But here is Lapido, and here is Deborah, and she calls herself a mother in Israel because she sees how incongruous it is, and she sees that Barak is the one that should be there. A man should be there, like Samuel in the future. God is going to raise Samuel up, and he is going to judge Israel. But she sees how incongruous it is, and she says, until, and listen to it, verse 7, it says, the rulers ceased in Israel. They ceased until I, Deborah, arose, that I arose, a mother in Israel. She sees how strange and how out of ordinary it is, and she tries to get someone to replace her, Barak. But he said, I won't replace you, but I will accompany you. Well, thank God, if you do have those that are characterized by timidity, at least let them do the job and have standing by their side a God-given, gifted woman to tell him what to do. Beware, because God at times tells us to listen to women, and at times he tells us not to listen to women. Who was one who listened to his wife, and it was one of the biggest mistakes he ever made in his life? Can you remember that? Who? Naboth. Naboth was the one who wished that Ahab had not listened to his wife, Jezebel. It was Naboth's vineyard. And poor Ahab said, oh, I would like to have that vineyard. And his wife said, she wants that vineyard? She said, leave it to me. She framed the man, had him dead, and she said, now go take the vineyard. Yes, it was Jezebel who told Ahab how to get that vineyard. That is a good example. It cost him dearly, because when Elijah came along, he said, you possess that vineyard, have you? You killed. It's in your hands now. That's true. But I was thinking of the father of the faithful. God had promised Abraham that he was going to have a son. You remember? Well, if you're 75 years old and you wait 10 or 15 years and you don't have a child, you'd better start thinking of something. You're not getting any younger. But here, Sarah said to him, I know the solution to that. I have a handmaid, and what you're to do is to go into my handmaid Hagar and have a child. And so, why, of course, that's the solution. That is God's will. And so Abraham listened to Sarah, and God never told him to listen to her. And Ishmael was born, and now look at Israel and the Arabs today. But you're liable to think from that, I'm never to listen to a woman. That's what someone teaches. Don't you see? Never listen to a woman. She will lead you astray. Jezebel led Ahab astray, and Sarah led her husband, Abraham, astray. Never listen to a woman. But the next time when Sarah spoke to Abraham, what did God say? He said, listen to your wife, you see. When Abraham loved his son Ishmael so dearly and did not want to cast him out, Sarah said, my son shall not inherit with that slave son. Cast him out. And it was so difficult for Abraham to do it, but God said, listen to your wife. And so there are times your wife tells you things, you say, what good advice she gives, you see, but it was deadly advice. And then there are other times your wife tells you what to do, and you say, oh, no, not that. And God says, listen to her. So at times, you listen to your wife, and at times, you do not listen to your wife. And may God give you wisdom to know when to listen and when not to listen. Because if you should have listened and you're wrong, woe is you. You understand? And if you listen when you shouldn't have listened, woe is you. So more and more we need to pray for wisdom from heaven. So here is the case of Deborah, and here is a woman who gave advice to men, and the advice that she gave was of God, because she was a prophetess and she knew when to give it. And throughout her position in Israel, she saw how humorous it was that a woman should be ruling, that a woman should be telling, but here is God who has given me this position,
and I have to do what I can to resolve the problems in Israel, and I have to do what I can to cause Israel to be freed from her enemies. And that is what she did. But she constantly tried to stay in the background. She called herself a mother in Israel. So, think of this. To have the responsibility to your husband and to your children, to your family, but at the same time, to have a responsibility to the people of God, and so many servants of the Lord have failed in that respect. I'm one who visits all the people. I go to all the assemblies, and you look at his family is utter confusion. Same way mothers that have special prayer meetings in their home, all sorts of things, and their own children, they go astray. So here is a woman, though, who was able to take care of her family. If God had given her one, we are not told, other than her husband. She said, I am a mother in Israel. It may have been a spiritual mother, but she was a mother in Israel, and yet she was fulfilling also the role that should have been fulfilled by a man. So here is a little bit about Deborah on Mother's Day, and time is gone, so let us pray. Our Father, we're thankful for the women of God that are gifted, and yet they are retiring, they're self-effacing, there is no pride in them, and they would help us men as much as they can with propriety, but our Father, sometimes we men refuse to take the lead. Forgive us. We thank you for men like Deborah. We pray, our God, that there shall be more wives that are able to help their husbands. We remember that there was Aquila and Priscilla. We're thankful for that couple, our God. And then we're thankful at times when Sarah can tell Abraham correctly what to do, when Deborah can tell Israel what to do. And yet, our Father, how often wives like Sapphira have gone along with their husbands in a lie. So help women to know what to do. Let there be mothers in Israel, but give them gifts as well. And yet let them be willing as Deborah to take their place and understand that the head of every man is Christ and the head of every woman is the man. Teach us thy precepts, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.